Well, if you watch one of those TV channels that specializes in programming for older viewers, this time of year, you can't escape all the commercials for Medicare enrollment, and it can all be a bit overwhelming. To hopefully make things simpler, we're joined this morning by Freddie Sennhauser, the Vice President of All Care Health in Southern Oregon. Good morning, Freddie. Welcome.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Well, Medicare, here we go, and are things the same as always, or do we have some new wrinkles that newly minted 65-year-olds need to worry about?
With Medicare, there's never a constant. Everything always changes. And yes, you're right, it changes again. And not just for the folks that are 65 years of age and aging into Medicare, but also folks who have been on Medicare for years. In the past, we just had an open enrollment period that starts this year on October the 15th and ends on December the 7th. And for the past few years, we also had a Medicare disenrollment period that was in the new year, started on January 1st and ended on February 15th. And now, to answer your question, the change is happening that folks who feel they made a mistake during this open enrollment period, the one between October 15th and December the 7th, they feel they made a mistake during that time, in the new year, they can make a correction, one option, one chance, and they can change plans. Or they can say, I'm done with this program altogether. I go back to original Medicare.
Now, some things you're automatically enrolled in with Medicare. Is that correct? And then you have several options. Can you just give a brief overview of all those different parts that are out
there?
Yeah,
great question. So, you know, there's truly four parts with Medicare, A, B, C, and D. And most people, if they have paid into Medicare or Social Security, for that matter, for at least 10 quarters, they are automatically entitled to Part A. That's kind of like the inpatient care, hospital, skilled nursing facility stays, things of that nature. And then also they can get enrolled into Part B. It's kind of like a voluntary thing. Medicare automatically enrolls you into that, but you have the option to opt out. And for that portion, members, beneficiaries have to pay a premium. Currently it's about $134. And, of course, that doesn't stay the same, too, because it's everything is changing. It used to be pretty simple, not anymore. And then for some folks who would like to join a Medicare Advantage plan, that's called Part C. They could then say, you know, I'm going to get my Medicare directly from a private insurance company. And that Part C combines A and B. And in some cases, it also combines Part D. And the Part D is for prescription drugs. But folks don't have to get the C to get the Part D. You can be on original Medicare and just go get the prescription drug coverage from a private insurance company, but you don't have to be with a Medicare Advantage plan to do that.
So if you were an individual who was relatively healthy in terms of no major medical events, but you're getting older and you're on perhaps some sort of long-term prescription drug sort of program, you could have the Part A and the Part D, but not necessarily the C. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, actually, you just made a really good observation. For the Part D, you don't necessarily have to have the B, and you most certainly don't have to get the C. And so, yeah, you could just go that route. And that's kind of like why this an open enrollment period is pretty important, because every year it has been the same for, I bet you, 10 years now, give or take, where you look at what you're currently using, like in prescription drugs, and then kind of compare the plans, because, you know, some plans might drop a prescription you're on and some plans might pick it up. They might change the tiers where those drugs are, and the tiers determine the cost shares. And so it behooves a beneficiary to be, a bit discerning and kind of look at where do I get a better deal? And of course, you know, other than the disenrollment and enrollment period I was talking about that starts next year, folks are usually locked into a plan for a year. So it really behooves you to check it out. And sometimes it's a bit overwhelming. Medicare.gov is a website that really kind of is very interactive and really helps people find a plan. But it still could be a bit overwhelming. And that's sometimes a good thing to just talk to your insurance agent who specializes in these kinds of plans. Hey, help me through this. What's the best deal for me?
If you have a question this morning about Medicare enrollment, you can give us a call at 800-838-3760 or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. So under Part A, you mentioned covering hospitals and things like that. Does that also cover physicians or those kind of services?
That would then be covered under Part B.
Under Part B.
Yep.
And you're automatically enrolled in that in Part B, is that correct?
Yes, you get enrolled into both when you turn 65, Part A and B. And then, you know, some folks who, because now the Social Security age is different than it used to be. They used to fall in the, you know, you turn 65, you get both, not anymore. And so now it's kind of important to, you know, check into that too. Make sure, number one, that you get onto Medicare because, you know, the federal government is not always 100% spot on. So be a bit proactive. But you want to make sure that if you don't need Part B because you continue working and you have good health insurance through your union or employer or whatever have you, that you might not need Part B. And so then you could save, you know, in this case, $134 a month, which why would you spend it if you don't need it? Right. And then for as long as you have coverage that is good, that is, you know, counts towards that, then you don't have to pay a penalty later on because you get Part B later.
If you are still working past a certain age, past age 65, are you required to take your private health insurance from your employer? Or, you know what I'm saying, if you looked at it and say, I think Part B is going to be cheaper for me, do you have that option?
Yeah, that always depends on the plan that you're with. You know, some employers, they have certain enrollment requirements. Some folks are allowed to opt out. Some plans might not allow you to opt out. And it also depends if your employer pays the full premium, why would you opt out? You might as well just stay there and save the 134. So, you know, each situation is a bit different than maybe, you know, from one to the other. So it really just behooves you to maybe talk to an expert, maybe an insurance agent or a financial advisor who, you know, works with folks that are around 65 or older.
So you come in and you can say, look at my individual situation. Here's the prescription drugs I take, you know, on a chronic basis for illnesses and stuff like that. And here's how much I'm shelling out every month, even with private insurance. Yep. And an agent can kind of help you wade through that and decide what your best options are going to be.
Yeah, and you hit a good point there. It, you know, for example, some folks who are in a pension plan with a union or maybe, you know, a federal program or state program, in many of those plans have very rich prescription drug benefits. And if you would, you know, for this year particularly, you think, well, it's better for me to go to another plan, to a Part D plan. Once you disenroll from one of those programs, you can never get back in. So it is really important to look at not just the situation this today or for this year, but also a bit beyond that.
We are speaking this morning with Freddie Sennhauser, the Vice President of All Care Health in Southern Oregon. We're talking about Medicare enrollment, answering your questions. Join us. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back with your questions and more. We're talking Medicare enrollment this morning, and we're visiting with Freddie Sennhauser, the Vice President of All Care Health in Southern Oregon. Medicare enrollment time, and there certainly, as you mentioned, some changes coming up in the next year. For somebody who is in that interim space between Medicare and official retirement, the government says that me, Milt, I can retire at 66 years, 4 months. I don't know how they came up with that number. I could actually retire today, but I've got to wait a little while. So what do you do in that interim period? Is there any pitfalls between age 65 and, in my case, 66 years, 4 months?
Well, I would most certainly recommend that, you know, you take a look at what your employer, if you still work, you know, if your employer provides health insurance. And then what we just talked about earlier, maybe you could opt out of Part B, but you most certainly want to be enrolled with Part A when you turn 65. And yeah, if you continue working, I don't think you have to worry too much about that. The key really is if your employer has 20 employees or more, then you can opt out of Part B. And if not, then you probably want to enroll with Part B. And, you know, the Medicare and Social Security benefits are really kind of decoupled nowadays. So it doesn't really matter when you get Social Security.
As folks are figuring this and planning out their retirement and their care, I probably there's some concern about being able to keep your providers that you've had all along. Is that something that is Medicare friendly, or in some cases with these different parts, do you have to get a new provider?
Man, that's a good question. So, you know, most providers want to limit their practice to Medicare beneficiaries because Medicare doesn't pay that well. And so if folks are just with Medicare, on original Medicare or fee-for-service Medicare, some providers might, suddenly say, well, when you turn 65 and you get off your insurance with your employer insurance and then be on Medicare, I might not be able to see you anymore. And that's one of the big advantages these Medicare Advantage plans bring to the table, because they're allowed to pay the providers and the hospitals a lot more money. And what we say, just in our lingo, is we buy access for our members. And that really helps to make sure that Medicare beneficiaries always find providers that are open to Medicare patients.
If someone enrolls for some of the options and then over the course of the year they made a bad calculation and they cannot keep up with their payments, what happens to those folks?
In most cases, like in our case, we give our folks at least a 90-day grace period. You have to have a bit of a heart in that situation, because if folks are right in the middle of, getting care, that would be the worst thing to do to disrupt that. But then, if we continue covering somebody, we actually would commit Medicare fraud. So we would have to disenroll a person who can no longer afford the premium. And maybe to expand on your question a bit, one of the things that these Medicare Advantage plans bring to the table and why it's important for folks who in this open enrollment period shop for plans is they're not all the same. They offer different benefits. All plans have to at least cover what original Medicare covers, but they can offer additional benefits, health club membership discounts, lots of benefits, transportation, dental coverage. It kind of behooves a person to really shop around. And, our plan offers acupuncture, naturopathic medicine. Well, if that's not important to you, the buying, Medicare Advantage buying a person, then, we might not be the right plan for you. But for some folks, they really look for that. And that would be one of the ways to set a plan apart from the others.
As a person is going through and trying to, and I know that this is probably an impossible question to answer, but as you try to come up with a dollar amount, is there like a range that you, because I'm thinking of people who are on Social Security and maybe they're collecting somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000 a month. Who knows what their Social Security is? But I mean, what are some typical costs? You did mention the Part B cost. I mean, what are some typical costs? And like, do they have to also come up with a copay when they go to visit their doctor? Is it like, traditional insurance? What are some of those numbers?
Well, like everything with a federal government or Medicare, it's complicated in a hurry. I mean, we can go down into the weeds here rather fast. Some plans offer a program with a zero premium. If somebody just buys a Part D plan, they might get it without a premium if they qualify for extra help. That's a program where the federal government actually subsidizes premiums and cost shares. Some plans are very rich. They might charge $200 or more a month. And you just kind of imagine a scale. On one side of the scale, you have the premium, and on the other side, you have the cost shares. So if the premium is very low, the other side of the scale goes up because the cost shares are much higher. And then, of course, the reverse is true. So if the premium is very high, let's say $200 a month, then the cost shares, the co-pays, might be very low. And so a person who uses a lot of services, goes to the doctor frequently, somebody has a chronic condition, they might be willing to pay a bit more upfront on a monthly basis, because they know as they go and receive services, their co-payments, their cost shares are going to be much lower. And that, again, is a reason to really check into these plans. And then we're right back to the individual situation. What's good for me and what helps me for the next year? And that's really the key. You want to make sure that once you make a decision, to be kind of cognizant. You're probably locked into this plan for a year.
We're not going to talk about Obamacare this morning, but I was going to ask, does that interface some way? I mean, I've never been on it, so I don't know. Does that go away at age 65 or How does that work?
Well, you know, the Affordable Care Act, or, you know, also referred to as Obamacare, was a huge bill. And the law today, as it stands, goes, you know, the tentacles go into pretty much everything, into Medicare too, into Medicare Advantage. And some really good things came out of that, like quality metrics, star ratings. And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, when you compare plans, it's important to look at what is each plan's star rating. It's a scale from 1 to 5. 5 is being the highest. So, you know, if there's a plan that's being offered that's a 2-star plan, you probably don't want to look at that. I mean, there's a reason it's only a 2-star plan. If a plan is 3.5 and above, that's pretty good. To get 3.5, you have to be pretty good. So, yeah, to answer your question, Obamacare created these quality metrics, and then plans get more money. They get like a bonus if they have high quality. So if they have a 4-star or better, they get more money from the federal government. And, of course, they have to spend – they cannot spend the money, you know, and pay to their shareholders. So they have to spend it on benefits, reduce premiums or add benefits. And so, yeah, it is actually a great deal for the buying public because if you go with a plan – that has a good rating, you benefit from that. And you also get better quality. There's like 53 measures that came out of that Affordable Care Act. And it certainly has changed the way Medicare is measured. So that was a good deal.
So it's like Yelp. You don't want 1 or 2.
Yes.
You want to move on. We were talking a little bit earlier before the show started about some changes this year with the current administration. And I don't know if that was what you mentioned about the January period of having a second look. Were there other things that changed this year as well?
Yeah, so that was the one where the the new enrollment and disenrollment period. But also Medicare has given the plans, the Medicare Advantage plans, not Medicare itself, but these private insurance plans, the option to become a bit more innovative, to offer benefits that actually make a lot of sense. In the past, if an insurance company will go in that direction, you'd be afraid they throw you into Medicare jail, you know. So now plans have the option to cover adult daycare services, home-based palliative care, in-home support services, support for caregivers, you know, things that we have heard from our members on and on. Why don't you cover that?
Mm-hmm.
A memory fitness benefit, for example, or home and bathroom safety devices. So Medicare now allows, and we have a great company here in the Rogue Valley that used to be called Age-Friendly Innovators. They're now called Rebuilding Together Rogue Valley. They go into Medicare beneficiaries' home, do an in-home safety assessment. And then, insurance companies would be allowed to cover those things and then cover the bathroom safety devices. Maybe that's a need that was established during those safety assessments. Also, transportation. Plans are encouraged to offer non-emergent medical transportation and to expand over-the-counter benefits. Those are just a few that have now kind of percolated to the top. By all sounds of it, there's more to come.
Mm-hmm.
We in the industry think this is really great because now we can do things that make more sense. In the past, you know, we always wanted to, but you couldn't.
Right. And we have a growing number of Americans are getting older, and I assume that trend is continuing as it has for several years. So home health aids and care and equipment and all of that stuff seems like it would be growing in importance.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a trend in the caregiving space where maybe even in the medical community as a whole, where we would like to make sure that people can stay in their home for as long as possible. As you can imagine, care in an institution, a skilled nursing facility, or even as an inpatient in a hospital is very, very expensive. That's the place you don't want to be because it's just expensive. So if we can, with tools given by Medicare, to keep folks in their home, provide home health aids, things of that nature. Yeah, that's great because I think, you know, I may speak for most, we all want to stay in our homes. We don't want to go to an institution. So now we have more tools.
And the survival rate is, unless you have a serious medical condition, being in your home, it seems like people do live longer and they're happier, aren't they?
Absolutely. There's actually a program, they're called PACE, and that's a really neat Medicare program where we know that if folks stay in one of these programs that they actually live quite a bit longer because now they got the support around them. somebody that helps them navigate through this maze of how you receive health care, you know, take you from one appointment to the other, make sure that there's care coordination, make sure that the providers talk to one another, make sure that you follow up on your appointments, make sure that oral health is taken care of, vision is taken care of, because if you can't get good glasses, you are more prone to falling. So, you know, you want to make sure that your prescription for your glasses is up to date. All these little things that we might take for granted, but a person who's maybe 85, a bit frail, you know, and maybe not computer literate or, you know, has a hard time navigating these things, those programs really help. And yes, we have studies that show that if folks stay in their home, they have better life quality and they live longer.
We are visiting today with Freddie Sinhauser, the Vice President of All Care Health in Southern Oregon, answering any questions you might have on Medicare, and give us a call about that. As people, as I mentioned, live longer, is it becoming increasingly more difficult for people to try to plan out their future? I read somewhere that one of the reasons years ago that we chose age 65 for Social Security benefits is because people only live to about 66 and a half. And so the government was like, well, here's about a year and a half worth of income. And of course, today it's much, much longer than that. And does that figure into to making it more difficult to plan out Medicare for an individual?
Well, it makes it a bit difficult for, in particular, Medicare Advantage plans, since we talk about that, because we only look at, you know, 1 year at a time. And really, Medicare is going in that direction. Even Obamacare with the exchanges, everything is done on an annual basis. So that has its advantages, but it has huge disadvantages for an insurance company. We would love to have a member with us for the rest of their lives, because then we can really, you know, help that member. And maybe, you know, I hate to use this word, but maybe for the lack of a better one, invest into the member. Because we then, if we'd have an assurance that the member will be with us for 10 years, then it behoove us to really invest a lot of money. But if the member leaves after a year, you know, it becomes a bit trickier. And so anyhow, that's why Medicare collectively thinks that if we raise the quality all around, then we all will benefit, because these members will move from one plan to the other year by year. But yeah, to answer your question, it's really hard to plan ahead if you only have a member 1 year at a time.
Do you work with providers just like a regular insurance company pre-Medicare would work? So if you have a doctor call you up and say, look, I've got an unusual case here, you've probably never heard of this disease or whatever the situation might be, do you work with them as well?
Yeah, we do. But with Medicare, and I'm not quite sure you know which direction your question goes, but with Medicare, it's we are not allowed to ask for any health questions. If you have Medicare, you can get the plan. So there is no discussion there. And once a member is, or a beneficiary is enrolled with us or with any Medicare Advantage plan, they got coverage from day one. There are no waiting periods, no pre-existing conditions.
So somebody who is facing that age 65 deadline and they're a few months out, are there things that they should be gathering information, or what steps should they be taking to make sure that they're ready?
Well, to pay attention what mail they get, you know, the Social Security Administration should send them some information that they are on the radar screen, that they eventually will get their Medicare cards. And if they take a lot of prescriptions, for example, they should make sure that they have a list to either when they go onto Medicare.gov and put in their list of drugs that they, you know, have that all gathered together, or if they want to talk to an insurance agent, that they have all that information. And it also helps to, you know, kind of get an idea of what they have spent in the past. So, you know, we talked earlier, if a person uses a lot of medical services, it might be important to see how many times did I see my doctor the last 2-3 years? What's the average per year? Because that helps you then too, if you have an insurance agent, that helps you, you know, to see, oh, if I go and see the doctor twice a month, you know, I might want to get a plan with a lower copayment. So yeah, those things are important to kind of gather.
So here you are, you're retired and you're taking your dream vacation, you're out sailing around the world or whatever, and probably not me, but somebody, would that be their dream, I guess. And you have a medical emergency in who knows where. You're in Africa, you're in Asia. How does all of that work? Are you covered?
Well, Medicare would not cover you. So there you'd have to kind of get some travel insurance to make sure you have that. Now, our Medicare Advantage plan, All Care Advantage, we cover emergencies and urgent care worldwide, unlimited. So that's one of the advantages you get if you join one of those private plans, because we feel that's just an added benefit that we want to offer folks and entice them to pick us.
Is there does Medicare cover you as long as you're in the United States, or is it are you confined to a region like with private insurance now, and you know, in terms of how much is paid or what's covered?
No, Medicare covers you in all our states and in our territories. And even if you're in some border regions like in Mexico or Canada, where the closest hospital is actually in that foreign country, either in Canada or Mexico, that actually will be covered too. But as soon as you go beyond, yeah, you're on your own.
So individuals who are older, are they do they face any particular challenges that are different from somebody who's 65? Do they have to plan in a different way for what kind of coverage they get? Do you have any recommendations for them?
Well, the plans are – that's actually another one of those advantages, because Medicare Advantage plans are not age-rated. So if Betty Jane is 99, she pays the same as Dennis, who's 24 and on Medicare. And Dennis could be on Medicare because he has been disabled for 2 years or more. The price is the same, so there's no age rating, there's no gender rating. So, yeah, it really just comes down to what plan works for you and then run with that for a year or more.
It's not as simple as it used to be, is it?
That's right.
Well, I guess the choice is good. So.
Yep, choice is excellent.
All right. Well, we've been speaking today with Freddie Sinhauser, the Vice President of All Care Health. Thanks for joining us this morning, and hopefully we've answered a few questions. You've answered some of mine as I see that age 65 looming off in the distance there. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thank you.